Amen. Have a seat. Have a seat. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Have a seat. Sit down. Let's get right into it. Take your Bibles, if you don't mind. Take your Bibles and go to the book of, where are we going to go? Acts, if you don't mind. Acts chapter 1. And so I'm glad I'm here. Now, I will tell you this, that Brother Bell's probably having withdrawals back there. For the past couple of years, Dan has been trying to get me to bring my girly mic and come on and come to the Faith Harbor. And now I feel very comfortable because I preach with this mic for the last 10 years. I have preached with this mic. And so when I was leaving the office and Dan said, come on, man. For a couple of weeks, he's been sending me videos of his system, and he's been sending me videos of the connections, and he goes, last year he tried to get me to bring it, and I was like, Dan, you don't understand Brother Bell. Brother Bell, when he orders the meal, it's the same meal since 1960 in Vietnam. In fact, all he does is say, you got any K rations? Can we have a, I want to open up my own can. And then he picks up a cigarette hat. No, and so it's, am I right? It's the same thing. It is a cheeseburger with milk, right? Am I right? Did I get that right? And so it's the, and so I was like, Dan, you don't understand. He said, well, we're trying to convince him to go modern. And I was like, the fact y'all have indoor plumbing means you're modern. Am I right? That's right. So this morning I was like, I told John, I said, Kelly bought me a very nice blue shirt. It kind of matches that blue shirt. Just a very nice blue shirt. And she said, Bob, that'll go great with your sport jacket. You can kind of wear it in the morning and be a Connerite in the morning. And I was like, sweetheart, you don't understand. If I put that blue shirt on and wear the Janet Jackson mic, that man's gonna have a coronary, and he's like gonna fall over. And but the whole reason we're doing our teen convention, and I needed my hands free to slap people, teenagers. And I needed my hands free for the contest, and our sound man said, look, I've been trying to get you to wear an ear mic for years. And I said, okay. So I called our sound guy we buy our stuff from 10 years ago. And I said, look, how do I describe the kind of mic I want? And he goes, well, what are you looking for? I said, yeah, you know, it's the one that fits around the ear. He goes, oh, you mean a Garth Brooks mic? And I was like, can we call it something else? He goes, okay, Janet Jackson. I was like, oh, that's great. We went from, never mind. And so I am in my element right now. I'm not quite sure he's in his element right now. And this will be the last time I'll be back. Good to been here. What's really sad about this is that I'm feeling so much at home that it may be a four-hour sermon. And just kidding. And Brother Clyde, you want that one? Okay, so I'll give you part two. He needs that one, but you want that one. Acts chapter 1, let me get right into it. Thank you very much for allowing me to come. And I can say this, Anchor is a place I love to be. And in fact, when they, I knew I was preaching this morning, so I could have caught a flight and got in here really extra late, spent some more time. And I told Kelly, I said, I need preaching, and I can't wait to get there to hear Brother Cox and Brother Hudson preach. And so, was at camp last week. Just turn me down just a little bit, because I'm going to blow myself out. I was at camp last week and spent all week at camp. Got home from camp and left to go to Boise, Idaho, for the weekend. And we are in a church planting craze right now. And so we planted our third church in Boise, Idaho, Sunday, had the chartering service. And we have four other churches right now that are in the baby stages. We have one in Bismarck, North Dakota. One of our graduates are up there, and he's starting a church there. And then we have one in Tomball, Texas, which is North Houston. So there's a building in Bismarck. There's a building in Tomball. And then we have one in Mount Pleasant, Texas, that this past Sunday was their third Sunday, and they had 15 people. And they're meeting in a conference room there at a Holiday Inn Express. And so I'm just like pumped. And then the president of our college last year came to me and said, God's worked on my heart to go start a church. And so he'll be church plant number 8. For our ministry, and he's going to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he went out there on a survey trip, and this is funny. He went to get a house,
and sat down. God has so blinded the mind of the loan officer that I sat down, and he got a loan based on his employment in Longview, Texas, that he's not going to have. It was kind of, so he went out there a month, 45 days, went on a survey trip, sat down, filled out everything, and then filled out the application. He said, okay, so this is your income, this is what you make. Yeah, your credit's done. Yeah, you're great. We'll give you the loan. And he was like, really? And so he got back, said, didn't even dawn on them that I'm moving here, like I'm leaving my job and coming here. And so God has just opened up doors. When he declared that that's what he was going to do, somebody gave him $4,000 for the survey trip and startup, and just the blessings of God. So you pray for us. We're in church plant number 8, and we are having a great time. And so I can't wait to see what God's going to do next. So Acts chapter 1, and then I'm here. Here at Anchor. And so, in fact, I'm so in love with this place that I won't show you, but I got a big Anchor tattoo right there in the back. And underneath of it, it says, go Michigan. And so anyways, am I right, Brother Darren? All right. So, Brother Jenkins, I'm feeling an ally right here. Michigan State? I'm sorry. My dad's a Michigan State fan. And I told him, never trust a team that the mascot is a man in a skirt. And so just kidding, Brother Jenkins. Sorry. And Acts chapter 1, let's get right into it, if you don't mind. And I think this is the appropriate people for the truth I'm going to give you today. And I promise you this, if you're looking to break through in your Christian life to a level of Christianity that very, very few people get to, then this is one of those kind of sermons. It also is one of those kind of truths that will explain to you why church attendance is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Have you noticed? Yeah. You go from Sunday morning to Sunday night to Wednesday night. Have you noticed that Sunday school seems to be this, and then it swells for Sunday morning, and then Sunday night, Wednesday night? Isn't that a shame it's done that? Isn't that a shame? Well, if you'll listen, I think that I can help you. It has made a difference in my life, and it has been something that I've enjoyed. Acts chapter 1, we're not going to stay there, but we are going to begin there. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you this morning. All is vain unless you come down. Lord, every bit of this, it's just going to be a speech. It's just going to be a lecture. Holy Spirit of God, unless you not only give information from your word, but Lord, unless you inspire people in their hearts, Lord, we're not going anywhere in the next 30 minutes. And God, we ask for your power. We ask not upon me or upon the dear people, but upon your word. And Lord, you said your word would not return void, and it shall accomplish. And Lord, that's what we want this morning. May the people walk out of here and just have that kind of vision for their life. And Lord, may their churches never be the same because of this morning. Bless Brother Jenkins as he comes. I know he's tired, been traveling a lot. And Lord, give him that extra grace, if you will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Bible says in verse number 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, now they interpreted the power in this light. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the what? Kingdom to Israel. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive what? Power. After that ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. Now please listen to me. We are either have the mindset that we are building a kingdom or we're building people. And there is a big difference, by the way. A kingdom says, what will these people make us look like? But when you are out to build people, then you don't care what the kingdom looks like. You just want to make sure the people are taken care of. And there is two kinds of mindsets. There's the average church member leaves their house to come build a kingdom, where the supernatural church member leaves their house to go build people. If you're getting in your car to come play the piano to build a kingdom, then that's the wrong way to look at why God saved you. But if you're getting in your car to come play the piano to build people, then that's truly what New Testament Christianity is all about. A church that is about building the kingdom says this: oh, my soul, boy, we just got to get people in here for the sake of getting people in here so that we can have the numbers, so that we can call the sword, or we can call the revival fires, and we can let everybody know. But when you are about building people, then it's like, good night. We got to get people in here, because if those people don't get in here, they're not going to hear the truth. They're not going to be loved in their whole life. There's a big difference. Amen. But it all comes down to not what happens behind the pulpit, but what happens with the members. A church is not built upon performance Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You know what the church is built upon? The church members. And I think a lot of times church members aren't winning people to the Lord because they have no connect with the lost. They have, where's your gateway to the lost world? Truly, when King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, can I ask you a question? How many lost people do you know that are still lost that you're still working with to try to see them get saved? We have so done this that we rely upon the buses to pick up the lost people.
Yeah, amen.
The only reason we have buses is because we have empty cars. I could save our church $250,000 a year if every member would be their own bus ministry. And that's where we create lazy Christians. Nobody's exempt from this truth. I don't care how young you are, and I don't care how old you are. And I told you, this mic's making me think I'm back at the Longview Baptist Temple. Go to Timothy, if you don't mind. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. I won't be near as into it, if you don't mind. So here we go. That's a lie. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. Let's go on a journey here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. Look at it. Thou therefore, my son, and I'll give you a chance to get there. 2 Timothy 2, 1, thou therefore, my son, be, what's the next word? Strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's stop right there. Is it not true we are to be strong? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. But strength for the sake of strength makes you very odd looking. Yes. Case in point, have you ever seen bodybuilders that they're strong, but they're of no value because they can't even open a can of Coke? Because they've so worked out their armpits that they can't even button a shirt. And you look at them and go, yeah, you're strong, but boy, you look weird. Can I tell you what most Christians do? They're strong, but they're no good to the common person. They can't even interact commonly because they're just so strong. Let me tell you something. The purpose of growing in the Lord is not for the purpose of growing. The purpose of growing in the Lord is not for the purpose of becoming strong.
Amen.
It's not for the purpose of walking around to flex your muscles. It's not for the purpose of lifting your shirt and showing your spiritual six-pack. That is not the reason for, y'all don't know what that is. Nobody ever said it. And that's not the reason why we get strong. Paul came to Timothy and he said, Timothy, listen to me. I want you to be strong. And then verse number 2, he gives us the reason. Look at it. In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. He said, Timothy, the reason that you need to become strong is not for the sake of strength, but it's for the sake of investment in others.
Right, amen.
Because if you are spiritually strong, but there is no investment in others, then what's the purpose of strength?
Amen.
You know, I'm getting really close for the Jenkins to saying that the only way our graduates can get a degree is if they have a convert with them when they walk across the platform to graduate. Because good night, people. What is the purpose of going through Bible college and learning how to lead people if you can't do it the 4 years you're there?
Amen.
I'm like that close.
That's powerful.
Because I'm tired of people becoming professional bodybuilders.
Yes, right.
But they can't make a difference in somebody's life. Are you telling me that God has saved you and changed you for the sake of just being changed?
Yeah.
Do you know what that's like? That's like building a brand new house in the middle of a forest, yet never cutting a driveway to the new house. That's like getting a house beautiful the way you want it. And immaculate and everything you want, the trim, the marble, the granite, it's like, whoa, but never having a way to get there and locking the door and walking out, sitting in that beautiful house. Paul said, Timothy, the reason you're to become strong is so you could turn and invest in somebody. Now you listen to me. If at the end of your life you have nobody attending your funeral that God used you to change their life, then you wasted your life. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He did not come to show his glory. He came to show his glory so that people could cross over and be saved. Amen. If you want the Anchor Baptist Church or whatever church you attend to start having new life into it and start having a stream of excitement, then you start investing in other people. And what you're going to find out is your life will never be the same. Your church's life will never be the same. And you need to stop just being point A to point B type of person and say, on the way to point B, I'm detouring to pick somebody up and invest in somebody. Isn't it sad that we hang up our investment in people after Sunday night? They close the doors. Well, we're done for the week. Paul said the reason that you're strong, Timothy, and I love this about Paul. Paul had preached to many people. Paul had led a lot of people to the Lord, and I'm headed to some points because that's what Baptists like to write down. Paul had, on his journey, he preached to many people. He had seen a lot of people say, but he only had one son in the faith. I want you to think about that. I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you will, in verse number 1. I want to show you the relationship here, that I'm going to encourage you that in the next year at Faith Harbor, have somebody sitting next to you that you have so invested in. If everybody here would just have one person you're investing in, then this crowd would double. Amen. On a Wednesday night, I was teaching this truth and this concept, and it's been a passion for me over the last 8 years to kind of shift us from being a kingdom builder to being a people builder. And I walked into the auditorium and I put a piece of paper, and when they came in, I said, look, you can't sit where a piece of paper is at. You have to sit in between the pieces of paper. And on the paper, I had a silhouette of a person. And I said, if everybody would just get one person, that this auditorium would be full. But it was not full for the sake of being full. Right. It's full for the sake of that person right there. Amen. We are too cliquish. Okay, here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy. Look at these terms of endearment. My dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have what? Remembrance of thee in my what? Prayers night and day. Look at the beautiful heart-rendering words. For greatly desiring to what? See thee. Being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Do you have any idea? And I, come here, Brother John. I consider John and I good friends. We're not great friends, but we're good friends. And but can I tell you honestly that when him and I are talking, that there is a level of, man, I love you. How are you doing? It's a level of camaraderie that we have between each other. Listen to me very closely. It is one thing for me to love that way with somebody that's a fellow brother in Christ that has years of experience. Have a seat. But it's a whole nother thing for you to love that way with somebody who just got saved. We wonder why we can't keep people. And the reason we can't keep people is because we are very selective with our love and with our desire. And if we see somebody that we like, man, we're like, hey, I get to see you. But when's the last time we did that with a new believer? When they walked into church, it was like, get out of my way. Man, I am glad you're here. Well, you know, they're not dressed like we're dressed. They're not. But are they part of the family? You see, the reason our churches don't have life in them is because we're not investing. That's right. Yes, right. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, look at how deep it went. which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. You know what he said? I know your family intimately. You know, it's one thing for you to know surface about people. Are you getting the idea? It's another thing when you dig that plow a little bit deeper in somebody's life and you go, you're stuck with me. You're stuck with me. Every lady in this church, every lady in the Longview Baptist Temple needs to have another lady that you're stuck with me. Every husband, I looked up Sunday, 2 weeks ago, and a husband sitting on this side and a wife sitting on this side, and I'm like, okay, what's going on? So after church, I said, hey, man, how come? He said, well, the guy I'm investing in came in during the song service and sat on that side, and I told my wife, I'll be back. So I went over there and sat next to him. And I said, well, I notice your kids are all orphans during the service. He said, that's because my wife saw the lady she was investing in come in, so she got up and went over and sat next to them. Amen. The kids will be okay. Amen. Why not? You let them run around before and after the service. Why not let them act up during? Oh, but we've lost that. Oh, no, this is the only time I get to sit with my honey. Oh, good night. You abandoned them to go fishing and golfing and everything else. Why all of a sudden at church do we get spiritual? Okay. I'm telling you, Dan, this was not a good idea because I feel like I'm at home. Here we go. Paul invested in Timothy, and Paul said, Timothy, the reason you're strong is so you can invest in the faithful so that the faithful can invest in others. Four tiers. Did you see that? Paul said, Timothy, I want a lot of people, but I'm going to invest in you. He invested in Timothy. He said, Timothy, you simply go find a faithful, and then the faithful will teach the others. The first Ponzi scheme ever. You know what a Ponzi scheme is, don't you? You just start getting these levels of people. It's the first pyramid scheme ever. It's the Amway structure. Don't let these people think that they came up with this structure all on their own. Thrive and all this other stuff. Well, I'll get this person under me, and you get this person under me, and we all can make a million. Why don't we take that same thing with the church? I'll get you, and then I'll invest in you, and after a year, you go invest in somebody else. I'll get somebody else, and then... Because I promise you, it's not an if. This is guaranteed that it'll work. Let me give you several things. First of all, buy into what you're hearing. You see, this is no good unless you, the member, believe what you're hearing. Look what it says there in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many what? Witnesses. Listen to me. If you don't even believe what the preacher's saying, you're not going to help somebody else invest in what's going on. If you don't believe in the music program, if you don't believe in what's going on, if you're not excited about your own church, don't expect other people to be excited about your church. Amen. I mean, you ought to be, yeah. That's our church.
Amen.
I mean, you ought to come up with your own anchor song. Hello, I'm from Anchor. You know, it ought to be one of the things. You got to get excited about, I mean, you ought to just drive past the church. That's my church. Did I tell you that's my church?
Yeah.
Did I tell you about the church I go to? It ought to be, but if you're not excited about it, if you're sleeping through the preaching, you're not going to help somebody else listen to it. If you're coming in late, you're not going to be there to help somebody else come in early. Thank you, I heard that. Number two, find a person and invest.
That's good.
You say, where do I find them at? You know where you find them at? Watch this. This is what I like about the mic. Are you ready? Watch this. You know where you find them at? Right here.
Yeah. Amen.
Right there.
Amen.
And when they come in,
yes.
Don't let them wander.
Amen. Yeah,
right.
Amen.
Say,
amen.
You're mine.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Yes.
That's where you invest at.
Amen.
Did it say invest in the lost man? No. It said you commit to what kind of people? Faithful people.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a study on the number of visitors who have come to your church versus the number of members that you have? There is a reason why they don't come back. You want to know why? Because the average church, here's the way they do church. Come here, join me. Come here. Let's all get in the center right there. Here's the average way, get in here, we're going to face each other. Here's the average way the people do church.
Yeah, come on.
Visitors, you come in behind and scoot this way. You front row, you guys. Step back this way. Face this way. Just come streaming through here. And here's the way just look at them as they come by. Just keep walking by, single file. The average way church does, churches like that. Keep going around. Hey, did you see them people this morning?
Yeah,
they're not like us, are they? Yeah, they're just coming. Why do you think they came? I've got no idea. Oh, I know. They came in on the buses. Yeah, they're those kind of people.
Oh, boy. Watch out.
Yeah. You know. Oh, it's a family member. You know how them family members are. Yeah. Instead of turning out this way, turn around, back and grab one. And he's going, no, you come with me. You come with me. Grab the next one. Grab the next one. Yeah, you come with me. There you go. You come with me. There you go. Now, listen to me. That is the difference.
Amen.
That's good.
Who's your Timothy?
Amen.
Amen.
That's good,
preacher.
Who is your Timothy? You said, but you don't understand. I've got, no, you don't understand. Hey, have a seat. You weren't given grace and given strength for the sake of being
right.
A balked up Neanderthal.
That's right.
You weren't given grace so you could. You were given grace. And you were given the truths of God so that you could go find a Timothy and invest.
Amen.
You don't have any idea that there are people out there that are longing for someone to invest.
Amen.
That if you would just step out and say, you're mine. You're mine.
Yeah, amen.
That investing, my friend, is just so incredible.
Good.
Do you know, I really hope that the good people of Longview Baptist Temple catch the heart of their pastor. Because my heart is not to build a kingdom and see if I can fill every seat for the sake of taking a picture. My heart is that everybody who comes to church has somebody that loves them so much that they catch faithfulness to the point of somebody else. Brother Mann, I appreciate him and his dear wife. Mrs. Mann was at the chartering service. It's his son-in-law that is pastoring that church in Boise. Well, they led in working with a dear couple named Bob and Linda Poteet. And Bob and Linda are up there in years, so to speak, if you will. By the way, anybody older than 48 is old. That's all there is to it. Shut them back doors back there because I'm tired of looking at you. And so I've seen ugly in Columbus, but brother, you take the cake. And so I'm just kidding. He has a mother somewhere. No, he doesn't. He was hatched. And just kidding. And so Bob and Linda, so 2 weeks ago, Bob's by himself, Brother Mann. And so I'm coming through and got saved and been coming to church and just, but the hours you have spent with that couple. So he's sitting there, and he's got a cane, and I said, Bob, how you doing? He said, Pastor, Linda left me. And I was like, Bob. So I sat down, Bob, I'm so sorry. Yeah, she does this every year. I said, Bob, really? He said, yeah. She goes to visit her family for about 7 weeks. And I was just started laughing. I was like, Bob, don't do that to me, Bob. Bob, don't do that to me because Gary Mann's out of town. I ain't got nobody to babysit you for the next. It's just the investment. Just that investment. Sunday morning 2 weeks ago, we had camp. Now, remember, we have camp. Sunday morning 2 weeks ago, I look up and there's a seventh grade girl named Juliana Diaz. Abby, she reminds me of you. Juliana Diaz, just down there. Cute little seventh grader. And she brought her friend Vanessa with her. And she's at the altar. And I noticed that Juliana is talking to Vanessa, but they're taking much longer than what they should have taken because, you know, everybody gets saved in 30 seconds. And taking much longer than what they should have. And then I saw the panic on Juliana's face, and she's looking around. And so she kind of motions for one of our college girls, Amber. And so Amber comes over and kneels down and is like, so they're taking extra time. We're singing. It's like, okay, what's going on? At the end of the service, Brother Jenkins, Juliana said, Pastor, I got about halfway through that Romans Road leading to the Lord. And I forgot the rest of it. So I just called Amber down. Amber stepped in, took over. Between Sunday, we leave Monday morning for camp. Between Sunday and Monday, Juliana had went and got that girl enough dresses for camp. And then called me up and said, look, we got enough dresses for camp. Can she go to camp? And I was like, that'd be great. When we went to camp, there were like 10, 11, 12 teenagers that just somebody loved on.
That's good.
Bless them, Lord.
That just somebody, awesome. Just somebody for the last year and a half invested in. Who are you making a difference in? What good is this whole thing? Is it just a show? Are we just treading water?
Come on.
Have we so perfected and professionalized Christianity that we don't even understand? The only reason you're here is because somebody invested
right,
in you.
Exactly
right. Go to Acts chapter 2. And I'm done. Acts chapter 2. I've been preaching for 28 minutes, and I'll try to finish up here. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. I'm going to give you the four things it takes to invest. And if you're willing to do these four things, then I think you're in. While you're turning there at camp, I took back over the youth department about 2 years ago. And so I'm back in the youth work thing and enjoying every minute of it. At camp, one of the preacher boys got up to preach, and his name's Josue. He's a junior at one of our public high schools there, starting quarterback for the team, and he's up there preaching. And Jose said this. He has a brother named Jared. And in the middle of 250 kids, Josue just starts saying, "Can I tell y'all something? There was a man who picked us up, and he would run the bus, and we were the only two who came. And on Sunday night, he'd pick us back up. And in the car, he would say this, 'I don't understand why more people don't come.'" And Gerardo and Josue were in the car. And Josue said, "You know, but what? I wasn't worried about everybody else. I'm just glad he came and picked us up. I'm just glad he came and picked us up." You and I have no idea that it's going to take more than just you sitting in that chair if you want to find fulfillment in life. Four things. Look at Acts 2:41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." By the way, can I say this? When somebody gets saved, you don't got to beg them to do anything.
Amen.
Look at it. "And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in," there are four things you have to do, underline it, "the apostles' doctrine." Now, can I tell you this? It's going to take this. I'm going to use you as mine. What's your first name again? I didn't care, but I just wanted to ask. No, I'm kidding. Isaac, right? I do care. Don't cry on me. And let me tell you what it's going to take. First of all, it's going to take the apostles' doctrine. Do you know how you get somebody to where they need to be? Somebody's got to teach them the doctrine. So no, they need to get that from the pulpit. They will get inspiration from the pulpit, but they will get education from their Paul. It's going to take somebody who says, "Let's talk about life according to the scriptures." And all you got to do is when you spend time with them, do you know the Bible well enough to tell them, "Well, here's what the Bible says about that."
Amen.
"Well, here's what the Bible says. Well, you know, Brother Bob, I'm just not sure what to do about that." Well, the Bible does.
Yeah.
And it's going to take you and I understanding that if they're going to continue and they're going to be that Timothy that you want, then you're going to have to educate them. So it's going to take a little bit of education. You know, the best time you'll ever spend, my friend, is with the Bible open, teaching somebody.
Amen.
Man, I was at a house the other day, and the dear couple I was discipling and sitting across the table. By the way, discipleship's not a bad word.
Right.
It's only a bad word if that's all you do.
Right.
You should be winning. You should be planting. You should be sowing. You should be watering. You should be the whole nine yards. We were sitting there, and they said, "You know, Pastor, we're getting ready to go to a family reunion. And I know there's going to be drinking there. What do we do?" So, "Well, let me show you what the Bible says about drinking." So I showed him what the Bible says. You know, it's not in Kings. That's what the book of Proverbs says. It's not in Kings to be given over to wine. Strong drink. And I said, "You got saved. You're a king. You're part of a family. We're royalty." I said, "Okay, well, how do I do this?" So all right, here's what the Bible said. You have to teach them. How do you expect them to overcome the world if nobody says, "Here's how you overcome the world"? "Well, it's not my fault they're not that good of a Christian." No, it's your fault. You know, when Cain asked, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The first question asked to God, you know what the answer is? Absolutely you are. There's a reason why you're family. So apostles' doctrine, next. Look at it. This is a bad word. Are you ready? Fellowship. Terrible word. Stop talking to each other and stop laughing and stop doing things together. Fellowship. You say, what does that mean? Fellowship. No, really. What is the doctrinal, exegeting of that word? Fellowship. Get in the same ship and throw people out when you don't like them. It's called fellowship. It's called hanging out.
That's right.
That's what it is. It's called come over to the house.
Right.
Let's hang out.
Amen.
Oh, they're not my kind of people. What if they'd rob me blind? Well, I got to figure it this way. You've robbed God so much in tithes and offerings, you deserve to be robbed. Don't give me that stuff.
Right.
It's called fellowship. It's called hang out with me.
Amen.
It's called I got to run to the market. What are you doing right now?
Amen.
Come on, let the old man watch the kids. Come and go with me. You would do that to your girlfriends if you were going on a trip. You would call them and say, hey, let them watch the kids. Why don't we do that with new believers?
Amen.
Well, they're going to show up in a pair of pants. Really? I hope they got clothes on. How do you expect? Well, they're going to smell like cigarettes. My car is a sanctified car. I wish you'd feel that way about the music coming over your radio.
Amen.
More than the smell. I got another amen from the out there. I'm doing good. I got two amens from the, I had another word. Fellowship. Are you afraid you're going to rub off on them or they're going to rub off on you? You may have to straighten up your life. You may have to get what is called that unfeigned faith, that non-masked faith, that non-Halloween to where it's a perpetual grin, but you're the devil incarnate underneath. It's called fellowship. It's called hanging out. It's called, I'm going to Dallas. Hey, you three guys want to come with me? Come on and come. And the hair, really? Pastor, I'll come. I'll go with you, Pastor. It's called when we almost get in a wreck. Oh, blank, watch. Well, at least you said it. I was thinking it. And it's called hanging out. You don't hang out, do you?
No.
I mean, somebody who comes to church that really wants the things of God, do you ever just say, hey, come? Come, fellowship. Third thing. I've got to hurry. I like this. In breaking of bread.
Yes.
Ooh. Let me tell you. Food is the ultimate connect.
Right.
You could not know a thing about Spanish people, but if you walk in with a burrito, it's like everybody is just happy about you. You walk in with some Italian lasagna. Oh, yeah. The reason white people are so fat is because this is the melting pot of the world. We get all the good food. Okay. Go to Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. It's a famous verse, and you'll recognize it when we get to it. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. Revelation 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will what?
Sup.
Sup. It's sort of the root word for supplication. Do you know there's a certain kind of prayer that is, can we discuss this? Food, when you sit down over food, you're normally relaxed. That's the most intimate friend time you could ever spend with somebody. And there's something about that. Question, when is the last time you and your Timothy just went and got a bite to eat?
That's good.
Do you know there truly is something about walking up to a counter and going, no, I'll get this. I got this. I'll take care of it. Because you just told him, you mean you... You're not going to make me pay it my own? You mean you're going to? One of the biggest things I've ever done as pastoring is get out of my office and counsel and say, hey, I'll meet you at Starbucks. I'll meet you at IHOP. Before I got on the plane to come here, one of the members said, hey, Pastor, can I come by? I thought, no, I don't come by the office. That's boring. Man, let's go get a bite to eat. That's because everybody knows. You ever seen the picture of the Lord's Supper? Right? The Last Supper. And everybody's on, you know what the last thing that was said there, don't you? Jesus said, everybody who wants their picture taken on this side of the table. And So in breaking of, that was funny right there, in breaking of bread, there is something about, if you'll try these four things, I promise you, and you just invest in somebody, they will feel like, uh-oh, here's a bad term. They'll feel like that they're part of the family. Because everybody knows when it comes time to eat out, you're not part of the family. What are you doing here? Everybody knows. How do you feel when you've interrupted a household and they're eating?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You walk in and there's the family, and it's like, hey, I'll be back. But boy, there's something about saying, hey, we're gonna go out and get a bite to eat. You want to come? Because it's at that time that you show them real Christianity. Doesn't have to be lewd. It doesn't have to be crude. It doesn't have to be ill-mannered. And that you can enjoy your time together. God help us, deliver us from these teenagers and college-age people that won't associate with new believers that because, well, you know, they're not our style, and they'll hurt our reputation. And then the last thing, look at this. This is beautiful. And in prayers. Do you know there's something about praying for somebody? Now, it's one thing for you to show them a scripture, but boy, it's another thing when on their behalf you approach the throne. Listen to me. When is the last time, Isaac, right? When's the last time you had this kind of interaction with God? Heavenly Father, I pray you bless my friend Isaac. Lord, right now he's just really going through it. Lord, I don't even think I have the answer. I don't even think I know. I don't even think I'm smart enough. But Lord, please let him know that you love him and that you're for him. And God, let him know that together we're going to make it. Give us your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who wouldn't want to come to church? Who wouldn't want to be involved? You have a chance. You just have a chance. Have another girl named Brianna. She's a Spanish girl. And I was teaching along this line. And so a parent came, think I have a seat, Isaac. Parent came up to me and said, you really put me in an awkward position. And I was like, I did. How come? He said, well, Brianna, girl came up and said to her mom, now, Mom, right? We don't leave the house till late. Anyways, can't we leave a little bit early? Now, Brianna's saying it right here. Been working with Brianna. And the friend said, Mom, isn't that right? We don't leave till late. Mom, we could leave a little bit early and swing by and pick up Brianna for music practice. Right, Mom? And Brianna's standing right there. She said, like, what am I going to say? No. And it was like, yeah, we got an extra seat. How many empty extra seats do you have in your car?
Come on.
That if you just stopped somebody on Sunday morning and said, hey, let our family pick you up. Why don't you come? Well, that's the bus captain's job. Do you know why we have very few bus captains who last in the bus ministry? Is because there's nobody to help them. Do you know one Sunday I said, we're not running the routes. Here are all the names of the people who are going to be left behind. If you really want them to come to church, you come get a card. You come get a card. And you pick them up. Because I'm tired of Pharisees coming to church and griping about giving their money when only 10 people come in on a bus.
Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
Three things of why you need to invest. Number one, it keeps truth fresh in your life. I've got to be done. It keeps truth fresh in your life. Hey, you know, there's a difference in when you work a job as a single guy, all the money goes to you. But you get married, whoo, all that money goes to her. Then you start having children, then all that money goes to them. And truly, it's the man against them. It's the guy going, now when he goes to work, it's like I'm going to work because of my love for them. Let me tell you something. When you're investing somebody, every sermon you hear is going to be, okay, that's for them, and that's for them, and I better be paying attention because they may ask me about what he said. I bet it's for them. The second thing is this, it keeps the focus off of you. All of a sudden, you don't care too much about you. Why? Because you're investing. Have you ever seen a man go from being single, dapper looking, to being married, dapper looking, to having children with a stain right there? All of us dads know what it is. We get that kid now where we, you know, them new suits we used to get dry cleaned all the time. And we hand the kid off, we still think we look good. You got a stain right there in the back. And all of a sudden, it doesn't matter. And when you become a grandparent, you don't care. They start rubbing your hands through their hands through your hair in public, you don't care. Rub away. That's what that hair is there for. It's a chia pet for the grandchildren. Because all of a sudden, the focus is off of you. Some Christians are too stuck on themselves. You want to know why? You ain't got no babies. You start having some Timothys. Last thing's this. It keeps the church going. Truly, it keeps the church going. You know, it was a beautiful thing. I asked one of the young men that come to church. By the way, if anybody can coin a phrase for bus kids other than bus kids, call them church guys, let me know. But I was talking to one of the young men that rides the buses, and I said, do you have any friends that you care about that you want to see saved? And he went, oh, yes. Do you think we could go? I was like, absolutely. We don't know any lost people. But the Timothys do.
Amen, that's good.
The Timothys do. Josue starts up in September's his first game, first Friday night in September. And he said, can we kind of go see all of my friends before the first game? And I was like, yeah. I said, do you think they'll get saved? Listen to this. He said, you know, I got a couple of friends. I thought my home was bad. Their home's terrible. And I really want to see them get saved.
That's good.
Listen to me.
That's awesome.
Investing in a Timothy. Yeah. We're either trying to build a kingdom or we're trying to build people.
Right.
And you know what makes empty chairs and empty pews okay to live with? It's because the people who are there are some Timothys.
Yeah.
And that we're making a difference.
Good.
Making a difference. And if you want to see the Spirit grow and keep going, then I promise you that's the only way to live. I've taken too much time this morning. God bless you. You've been very kind. It's not my fault. It's Dan's fault.
Very good.